Today on Real Radio.
We only die once as a Christian. But if you die without Christ, not a Christian, the Bible teaches that you'll die twice. You'll die a physical death and you'll die a spiritual death for all eternity, and you'll live in that spiritual death. That's a terrible thing. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He doesn't want you to go there.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're now in chapter 2, where Paul continues his explanation of the new life believers in the Messiah now have. Verses 1 through 3 speak of the conversion true believers have experienced. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called From Death to Life.
Paul tells us here, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Let's just keep going and we'll pick this up next week. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love wherewith He's loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places, in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Great portion of Scripture. Tonight, looking at verses 1 through 3. And this is really part one of a two-part message called From Death to Life. If you, as I've told you before, you head up out of here on I-15, make a left-hand turn on 395 and get up north, what would be on the east side of the Sierra Nevada Mountains, not far from here, in just a matter of a few hours, you will be going by what's called Mount Whitney. It's the highest point in the state of California, 14,400 and some odd feet. It's way above the tree line. It's naked as a jaybird because the trees can't even breathe up there. And so it's this incredible peak that many of you on your way, maybe going up to ski, you've seen the sun rising, hitting Mount Whitney. It's brilliant. It looks like it's gold in the morning and in the evening because it's so high that it just attracts the sun. From it, people, I've never been there, but from it, people say that it feels like you're on top of the world as you're looking down on California. And when the visibility is clear, you can see over 135 miles from that point. You can actually see to the end to where the earth would begin to curve from that vantage point. That's where your horizon is lost at the curvature as distance goes out. But just 80 miles from that high peak of Mount Whitney, you will be at the lowest point in California. In fact, it's the lowest point in America. It's the second lowest point on earth. The lowest point in the world is the Dead Sea. The second lowest point is Death Valley. And from Death Valley to Mount Whitney is less than 80 miles, and it is very unique in all the geography and topography of the world, because there is no other place on earth where is there a greater differential in altitude than from the peak of Mount Whitney down to Death Valley right here in California, not far from us at all. Such a radical contrast, such a radical change. From one point, you can be experiencing the wonderful blessings of a cool summer day at that altitude, down to in the shade, get this, I looked it up today, in the shade, Death Valley, in the summer, 134 degrees in the shade. The ground temperature recording up to 183 degrees on the ground temperature itself. In other words, if you put your feet on the ground, you're going to be feeling sand and dirt at 183 degrees. And just 80 miles difference. And the difference makes all the difference in the world. It is literally from death to life. In between those two places is water. But you get down to the Death Valley, and if you drink any of the water that's there, it can actually kill you. The water can become poison there. But we're going to be looking in verses 1 through 3, and you're saying, why that introduction? Because, to be quite honest with you, verses 1 to 3 are pretty boring in the way of hope. They're void of excitement for us in the way of having hope. Verses 1 through 3 will show us the black background that will really set the stage for verses 4 through 7 and this gem that's going to shine forth. Ladies, remember when you went to go buy a ring? Or I should say, guys, remember when we went to go buy a ring? You know, part of the way of us getting snookered into the deal was the guy pulled it out and he laid this black velvet thing on the countertop, and then he has this look at the ring. Well, behind the ring was this black velvet or dark blue velvet. Well, it never dawned on us, well, what's the velvet? I'll take the velvet. Well, what's the velvet? He just lays it out there. It's part of the little routine, and he holds up this ring. Well, if you move the velvet away, the ring still kind of looks okay, and it kind of looks okay on her finger, but it sure doesn't look as good as the day that the guy pulled it out and showed it to you. Especially 30 days later, it doesn't look nearly as good. And, you know, what's the deal with the black velvet back there? And why is it when you open up that little thing, you know, they don't have white velvet back there. They have black velvet back there. Because it causes that gem to look so much better. So much more brilliant. And the black backing actually causes that diamond or that stone to catch the light and be the focal point of the light, where the black would absorb the light, not reflecting it. It leaves this one focal point, and it alone is shining back all of the light that's coming from the lights that make it look like it's a good diamond. And you're impressed. And so verses 1 through 3 paint to us a very black picture. And if you cannot remember how black the picture was in your life before you came to Jesus, then boy, do you need to hear the next 2 weeks. Because do you remember that we were sinners saved by the grace of God? I don't know about you, but Satan is so good. He reminds me every day about how bad of a sinner I was. And even now, he'll remind me about how bad of a sinner I am. But against this black background, God has a plan that will cause us to shine for all eternity. I can't wait to get to verse 7. That's what that's all about. But it'll be a couple weeks. The first thing I want you to note is in verses 1 through 3, of course, but right here in verse 1, we need to understand that we were all born in this valley, this Death Valley experience, and we're going to be seen from death to life in a little bit. But verse 1, it says right here, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now everybody in your Bible, look real close. Everybody look down. You got a Bible? If you don't, look at your neighbor's Bible. Do you see where it shows you in the Bible there where it says He made alive? That's in italics. It should be in italics. Everybody okay with that? You there? Do you know why it's in italics? In 1610, it wasn't there. It's not in the original manuscripts of the Bible. What's the problem? That's no problem, because it does appear further down in this scripture. We read it here tonight, that He's caused us to sit together in Christ, and He has made us alive. It's there in verse 5, where He says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive." You see that right there? That does appear in the original Greek manuscripts of the Bible. But up here in verse 2, it doesn't. It actually reads in the actual Bible, in the Greek, it says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins," period. And you know what? I like that. Why did the translators add it? Because they were afraid, I think. I wasn't there. I'm going to guess. Because it does appear in verse 5. Why do they put that? Because I think when you open it up and you read, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins," shut the book and walk away, you could become suicidal. They took the truth that's in verse 5, kept it in verse 5, of course, and and brought it up to verse 1 just to give you a little bit of hope because it's so dark in this valley. But in the original, it just flat out just takes a hard ball, winds up and delivers it right in your face. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Blanket statement. By the way, it's a statement of absolute authority. There's no way around it. Can't change it. The Bible says right here that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Blanket statement. Done deal. It's fact. We find that offensive if we're not a Christian. We find that offensive if we've been deceived. Because the bottom line is, the Bible teaches us that we are dead in our sins. This word dead is the word nekros, where we get the word necromancy or necrophilia, sick words. But it's based upon this Greek root word, nekro. And it literally means dead. Dead, dead. And you might be thinking, well, you know what? I saw the cat over here on the corner of Chino Hills Parkway and Peyton, and that was dead. Well, you know what? Yeah, it was dead. But believe it or not, there is a meaning to this word dead that is far greater than what you and I are thinking right now. What can be more dead than that dead cat on the road? There is something more dead than that dead cat on the road. Are you ready for this? According to the Bible, I'm not making it up. According to the Bible, there's something more dead than that dead cat. And that is a person who is alive right now, breathing, without Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you can be absolutely alive right now. Breathing, hairspray, deodorant, makeup, clothes, suit, dress on, driving your car, looking good. Just like that guy. Remember that guy a couple months ago? Yeah, I got the article. It's right on my phone, actually, sitting on top of my phone. I don't know why it's on my phone, but it's on my phone. And about the guy that died. Remember the guy that died in Texas and they're driving him to Apple Valley? The guy's dead, sitting in the car. He's dead. They got him all dressed up, got his hat on. And in the article, it says that he was pulled over somewhere. No, really, they were pulled over. And an officer asked the driver, who's the dead guy? And the officer was joking because the guy looked like he was so asleep. And he goes, oh, he's my uncle. And the officer, it never dawned on him, the guy was actually dead. He just looked like he was sleeping. Dead. Now, that's dead. The Bible says that's dead. But the Bible says that there's a death that is greater than that, and it is a death of the spirit, where a man can be, a woman can be absolutely alive, looking good, driving down the street, and be more dead than that dead guy sitting in that Cadillac coming from El Paso or wherever. And we laugh at that, and we think how silly, how stupid that can be. Well, the fact is, it is absolutely true. You can be fully alive according to the world's standard of life and be so dead and alienated from God and have absolutely no clue until you come, so to speak, to the end of your rope and you wind up crying out for Jesus Christ. And we hope that that, by the way, would happen in life for you. But the Bible teaches us that there's a death. Absolute truth. By the way, physicians tell us that death occurs when brain waves have flattened out and they've monitored and they've been gone for a while, and that there's no longer any sustaining physiological functions to keep that body alive or to have it show signs of life. This person is, quote, dead. That's what the physicians tell us. But again, the Lord tells us that the human being that is living in this world today outside of Jesus Christ is literally born dead. We are born dead in our sins, the Scriptures teach. God is holy, and we're not holy. God loves us. We don't love Him. He loves us. The Bible says we didn't first love Him. He loved us. We didn't first choose Him. He chose us. But God is holy. He's absolutely pure. He's sinless, and He's eternal. We are finite. We are sinful, and we're alienated from God. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. That's the beautiful news about the gospel. If people would sit long enough to hear it, they would find out that God has delivered them from their dilemma, if they'll listen to the gospel. But we were absolutely alienated, and Jesus came to the cross, and on the cross, He hung there on the cross, and He quotes Psalm 22, and He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you say, well, why did He say that? Well, because I believe He said that from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock on that Good Friday, on God's Friday. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 was being accomplished upon him, where God was laying upon him the sins of the world. And he who knew no sin was becoming sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And when that moment was taking place, Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was crying out as a man upon the cross. Just like we would have cried, just like a lot of people today are crying. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason why is because though Jesus was not a sinner, he was holy, God was laying on him your sin. So that you and I would never have to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The debt was paid in him. But until we come to Christ and receive that, we are alienated from God. Just the way that it is. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, this alienation takes on an interesting scenario. In the book of Revelation 20, verse 14, it says, then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And when Jesus says, when the Bible says there's this thing called a second death, it is not just the death that somebody experiences in this life. Listen, that's not all there is. We may die on this earth, but there's a death that's coming to people who don't know Christ after that. That's the second death. And in the end, Revelation 20:14 tells us that hell and death are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. What does he mean by that? The Bible teaches that there's a second death. It is, listen, it sounds like a contradiction. It's not. It is a state of death in the spiritual realm where you're fully awake, you're fully conscious, you're totally very aware of everything that's going on, but you are living a never-ending death. Do you know right now, seriously, right now, if somebody walked up to me and put a .45 next to my head and pulled that trigger, do you know what would be a real blessing if that had happened? Or if that would happen? Do you know what would be a real blessing for me? Is that I die. And you say, well, that's stupid. Of course you're going to die. Read the book of Revelation. During the great tribulation period, there will be people during the tribulation period when part of the plague and judgment of God is that God removes death from the earth. And people will be crippled and maimed and injured from all the insanity and the war, and they won't be able to die. Can you imagine laying there with your brains hanging out and you're not dead? Can you imagine getting your legs cut off and you're not dying? There's coming a time in the great tribulation period where that's true. They won't be able to die. Death is a blessing for the Christian. For us, it opens up a brand new door. We're going to enter the presence of Jesus Christ. We only die once as a Christian. But if you die without Christ, not a Christian, the Bible teaches that you'll die twice. You'll die a physical death and you'll die a spiritual death for all eternity, and you'll live in that spiritual death. That's a terrible thing. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He doesn't want you to go there. But the real you on the inside is the part that will live forever. Isn't that amazing? Jack, this is pretty depressing. I told you it was a black velvet background here. So next week can shine all the better. We're not talking about a kind of dead. We're not talking about a symbolic dead or a positional dead. We're talking about, in fact, the truest meaning of the word, biblical terms, death to the spirit. Men are born dead. And let's study this a little bit. What is the mode of death for us? For all who are born into the world. Watch this. Look at verse 2. It says, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. Mark those down for a moment. The word trespass means a deviation of an intentional error to willfully sin. That's the word trespass. It's pretty direct. It's willful sinning. To transgress is to premeditate the sin. Watch this. Get up tomorrow morning and you say, you know what? I am going to go knock on, you know, my neighbor's door, the wife or the husband, depending upon who you are. They're away on a business trip, and I'm going to go over there tomorrow, knock on their door, and flirt with that girl or flirt with that guy. And you say, that's terrible. That's transgression. It's to say, I'm going to go do this thing next Sunday. And you plan it. It's premeditated sin. It is called transgression. All sin is totally unacceptable to God. It's horrible and hideous. But in a sense, it's worse. It's premeditated sin. Why? Because the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. But you still make plans to do it. Don't do that. And you just blow him off and you do it. Transgression. Willful sinning. The word sin here means to sin by missing the mark or the standard. You know the term, you've heard it before. It's an Olympic term. It's an archery term. The guy sets up a target. It's got the yellow, the blue, and the red. The guy pulls an arrow out of the quiver, draws it back, shoots his arrow, and he misses the bullseye, and he lands right on the yellow spot, and the guy would yell back at the archer, sinner! Meant that he missed the mark. That's all the word means. You missed the mark. And it's not intentional. This is what the word means. The word means to know what's right and to put every bit of effort to do what's right. And you still miss it. I mean, you got that, baby. You're just like right there. You lick the feathers on the arrow. You know. Get that baby light down there. Got the sights on that thing. I got it. Steady as a rock. Let it go. And you miss. You had absolutely 100% intentions of hitting that bullseye. And you missed it. You had great intentions. And you could even say, I'm not like this bonehead over here next to me. That guy turned around and shot the judge. That's transgression. God's standard is don't miss the mark. Who's guilty, the sinner or the transgressor? Both are. They've missed the mark.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a presentation called From Death to Life. We'll look at the first three verses of chapter 2. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, one of the most infamous dates in U.S. history, September 11th, or 9/11, to which it is commonly referred, reminds us of one of the planet's and the gospel's greatest threats. Everywhere, it seems, we're reminded never to forget. And to better help us understand the terrorism, carnage, and anti-scriptural views of the religion of Islam, we're once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Despite today's politically correct mentality, the author reminds us about the threat to our nation that became reality in her native land. So, if you missed our offer last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, you can find out all of our contact information, once again, by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.